Lucy, I'm home.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Having a Ball podcast. I'm your host, Ziva.
And I'm Erica.
And today we are going to talk about Lucy and Desi, the new documentary that just came out, 2022. It was directed by Amy Poehler and has lots and lots of fun people that we'll talk about a little bit more. But just right off the bat, what did you think of it?
You know, it's like, you know, anyone who's seen maybe being the Ricardos or already taking shots in the first
2 seconds in. It was nothing like being the Ricardos.
Well, everything we saw in being the Ricardos, it was the opposite of that. No, but I mean, it's to be expected. It's a documentary, so you're going to have a massive difference. But I do feel that this was handled with such care, the way it was not only put together, because you've seen documentaries that don't grab your attention, but if you've never even been a Lucy fan or, you know, remotely care of the existence,
it's still interesting.
It'll capture you. It will. And yeah, let alone being a fan. How about you?
Oh my gosh, I loved it. I loved how attentive they were to the facts. I mean, again, it's a documentary, so you expect that, but
right,
I still think they did a really good job, I guess, proving some of the things that people just assume are true. Or, you know, even the idea that Lucy Arnaz was like, Lucy didn't like running the studio.
Yes.
You know, you never really think, I never really thought about it. It's just like, she did it. She was great. She did it. But did she enjoy doing it? And the answer is no. And I think that that's really cool to say, okay, she was already amazing, so we don't need to, I don't know, I feel like sometimes we put her on God mode.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, she's already an amazing person. Yeah. And so to understand that, like, there are things that she did that she was uncomfortable with, that she did because she had to do them. And then when she was able to, like they said, sell the Paramount, she did, you know, as soon as she got a reasonable offer.
I think what I got from it was, and I think I've always kind of understood this part, but this documentary really brought it home, was she was probably so frustrated that this marriage couldn't work because he was the brains and she was the face. And so together it worked perfectly. It was a beautiful match to do, you know, what they did eventually with Disney Studios, I Love Lucy and all of that. But the fact that they couldn't keep the marriage together probably frustrated her because she didn't want to be, you know, up there talking to, you know, stockholders and partners and things like that. She wanted to be the show, and he was the brains behind it. And together we make it work. But you could see that's probably where the shift in her came, the change, you know, much more stern because she had to be.
I mean, yeah. And I think that, I mean, Lucy Arnaz says that she was a hard edge, and she became less of a hard edge when they were separated.
Yes.
That was one of the things that they talked about. And I feel like I can understand. So I almost feel like her hard edge might have been a defense mechanism, right, for his actions. Because she said that Lucy Arnaz said, you know, she hurt him with her words, and he hurt her with her actions,
right,
his actions. And I think that they were doing this. And as much as we hated to see them separate, I think it was for the best. And what they said, you know, they were married to their second, you know, significant other spouses for longer than they were ever together.
Yeah.
And they got along better once they were not in that romantic relationship. And I think one of the hard things was that we saw them create this, you know, perfect
image
of what, you know, goes on in a home. And so that's what everyone was rooting for. And I think it was a hard disconnect to realize it's not exactly what's going on.
And I think it was Lucy who said, you know, Lucy Arnaz, who said, people didn't really like the idea of Gary, or didn't, you know, they ignored Gary and they still do, because I mean, everywhere you go, it's plastered. I mean, behind me, these two, they're plastered, and they were married to their second spouses much longer. I think what I loved about this documentary, much like books that are written about these two people, is that these are people who were actually in their lives. It wasn't just like, let me write a book about Lucy and me. I've never met her. I didn't, you know, associate with her. I'm telling you what I've researched and learned. Whereas this documentary gives you all these people that were part of her life, part of her career. I mean, and so it kind of gives you a much more, you know, familiar tone to it.
You get to hear, I mean, they just sound like they're talking about an old friend, which they are, you know. Mm-hmm. It's not like they're not friends. They weren't. Right. And so yeah, I probably teared up.
Oh yeah.
I can't tell you how many times I teared up. Like, oh my goodness. Again,
even though
again,
we knew what was coming, we knew, I mean, we know, yeah, this,
we
story.
Know the story. We know the story,
but it feels much more personal. And I think Lucy did a documentary back in the early 90s. She won an Emmy for, but this felt much more, you know, she's much more older. So maybe a different perspective of really how beloved her parents are. Not that she didn't know it back then, but now we're in 2022 doing this and right. still, you know, honoring this legacy and her realizing they came together. If you believe in that sort of stuff, they came together for a reason to create something beautiful, but they just weren't meant to be for a variety of reasons that were all laid out in this documentary. Unhappy for various reasons on both ends.
Yeah. And I think, so one of the things I liked about this was that if you listen to any of the Let's Talk to Lucy.
Yes.
Yeah. There were some of those clips, like the Vivian and Lucy.
Uh-huh. Oh yes. Miss Ball.
When I heard that. Yeah. I sometimes wonder.
Cause she's mentioned that she never saw her before hiring her, and would she have hired her?
It's definitely, I think that for anyone wanting to get a real picture of what went on and this mm-hmm. amazing accomplishments that they did, but also the struggles that they had, this is a really good show. And I really appreciate that they did put the good and the bad, you know, with both Desi and Lucy's life. Yeah. And their childhood. And, you know, of course they brought up that the incident with the shooting again, you know, not again, but we've talked about that as well. Because that was a big point in her life.
Oh, sure.
And obviously so. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's such a traumatic experience. And then again, with Desi and the revolution.
Yes.
You know, 14, something. For some reason, I thought he was younger.
I think it was
when
was
that
it
happened.
16?
He was 14.
Oh, 14. Okay.
But for some reason, I thought he was like young, like before his teens happened.
See. You know what's interesting, I saw you know, one of the people that was being interviewed, I think his name is Eduardo Machan, I think that's the name, and it gave me a different perspective of who Desi was. Now, he was unhappy you know, later on after Lucy ended and all of that, and perhaps missed Cuba. And he said, you know, Desi was a refugee, not an immigrant, an immigrant is fighting to get here to this country to, you know, better himself and all of that. He wanted to do that in his home, you know, but he was forced out of there. So it's a different perspective. Perhaps he never felt like he was at home. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think they did mention that it was almost like he was always looking for that home.
Yes.
That, I mean, that was just forcefully, I mean, one second it was there and then just gone, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, all of it.
You can kind of see that happening now, huh? Talking about the policies of Ukraine. It's just such a crazy idea that it just switched like that. And so not only then are you losing everything, and not, they were an affluent family. So it's not like they just lost, you know, they were already struggling to get by and they moved places and now they're struggling to get by someplace else. They had, you know, the town under their thumb, basically.
Yeah.
They ran a lot of positions. They ran a lot of the town, and then to have it just completely crumble. His dad was in jail, for 6 months, I think he said. I mean, all of that. So quickly, and then to be thrust into this new world that, you know, like you said, the difference is that
the ground up,
you know, some people go searching for a better life and he was just trying to survive.
They weren't
moving to in search of the better life. They had a good life. They didn't need a better life. They were fleeing. Right. I mean, they did once the revolution, but you know, they were fleeing, and that's the difference.
So, and I think much like, I think it's either our episode 2 or 3, we do a profile on Lucille Ball and Desiree Nez, where we get into more of their different upbringings, because, you know, Lucy came from nothing and mm-hmm. and made herself who she was, or, you know, who she is now. And then Desi came from opulence to nothing, to the back to you know, the extravagance that they built together. So, you know, that the history that they go into was, I loved how they went into it and spoke, you know, about Desi buying a house for his mother and trying to make it Cuba like, and she's like, that's great, but
nice try.
And but what I really loved about this documentary was some of the things we hadn't seen before. I mean, as any Lucy hardened Lucy fan has seen these same videos and the same pictures over and over. I mean, we could go, you know, hours and hours seeing the same ones, but then you see like these test shots at the beginning of it.
I love that
they look so young those. And so in love, so and happy, just so cute, you know. And it was like kind of a candid, even though they knew the camera was there, but it was very sweet. She's wearing kind of like a nightgown. And they both just look so happy. And I love those. And the fact that you have Lucy's own voice, because she was recording this for a book she was doing before she passed, was so nice, because it sounded like it was being narrated and walked through by her, which essentially it was. You know, like when she gets with D is for Desi and B is for babies. I forget what she said C was for, but it's just very sweet to hear her kind of do it herself, you know, narrate it.
Yeah, I really like that. I liked that they brought in, obviously, her children, and we don't see Desi Ernest Jr.
We heard like an old interview, I think. I think that was an old interview that they used.
Well, I thought I heard that they did end up using some, like he did speak for it.
Okay.
He did do some interview, particular. And I know that a lot of people have questions about that, like, why isn't he
part of it?
And I think that, you know, each person has the right to their privacy. And if he really has stepped away from that spotlight. And so
I think he lives a quiet life and he likes it.
Right. I don't think like he feels the need to. And I think what he offered, what was offered through just some speaking, was enough. One of the things that stood out to me, sorry, my brain skipped for a second, was that I appreciated that they mentioned that Desi liked other things, which you can assume, right? But I think sometimes you think it's just like wrapped up and that's all they did, right? And Desi, when they did that bit, that voice of him, he mentions that, you know, Lucy would just go.
Yeah.
She would always go, because you can't get fish to laugh or something, you know. You know, she would always be on if she could be, and she was, right?
Yeah.
But he didn't want that.
She and breathed I think this that, stuff. This was
right. Her, she that was her life. Yes, and for him, it was something that he did. It was a job. And I think that he wanted to be able to go and kick back and relax. And he had other things that he enjoyed doing as well. So I think that is just something that sometimes they're just these awesome people that they live, breathe
the craft.
That's all they did. For Lucy, that's true. But for a lot of people, it's, you know, they go in, they do their work, they come home and they want to relax.
She was always on. She didn't want to quit, even after I Love Lucy ended, you know. Perhaps, you know, I think there was a moment where she mentioned that after Lucy ended, which means that's when the marriage ended also, she wanted to take the children and move to Europe, perhaps, and just live like a comfortable life. And then all of a sudden she signs up for Wildcat. She's like, never mind. And, you know,
never mind.
And so she, you know, she does something that she never does, was just dance and sing and perform like this. So she ends up getting hurt eventually. But, you know, the point of it is that she was go, go, go. And, but to your point earlier, she didn't want to also do that and then run the studio too. That's why it yeah. became just so overwhelming. They built this huge thing together, massive, it just grew and grew and grew. And like Lucy Arnaz mentions, they did this so they could be together. And all it did,
and everyone else got it.
Everyone else,
you know.
Yeah. That was really sad. But you know, it was nice to see real life friends. Like always, Carol Burnett is a nice, a nice friendship they had. I mean, they met when Carol was in Once Upon a Mattress. Yes. And so the second night, you know, she looks out there and there's this big red headed person in the in the front row. And it's like, oh my gosh, of all the people, Lucy is here to see me. And she goes backstage, you know, and she calls her kid because she's 22 years older than her. And we know the story of her passing on her birthday. But what's great is that, you know, she asked her if she would be on her show, she needed to do a 1-hour special, which eventually got her own show. So Lucy was always a mentor to Carol, and their friendship spanned, you know, many years, which I loved.
I think that you can see that in just with the way that people talk about Lucy, and even just in some of the videos, that she always had this sort of mentor, protective.
Yes.
Motherly thing. I think they do mention that too in the documentary. I mean, there's this clip that they show, and there's many of them actually, where I can't remember who's the host, mm-hmm. like will touch the woman and like,
yes.
like don't touch her.
Yes. And she wasn't joking. Just
fine. Yeah. Oh yeah. She's like, we can see the shirt just fine. Take your hands off of her.
Right. And she was always
had that
stern that boss. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I mean, in a protective, like for the woman, that must have been just so amazing, you know, to have someone stand up for her and be like, no, just because you're a host doesn't mean you get to touch people.
What so. I love is I think it was either Laura LaPlaca who runs one of those the comedy stores in New York. I think it was her who said back when Lucy was just starting out, she was always surrounded by men. She was always the woman surrounded by men and having things mansplained to her, you know, and and she always said, I want to learn. I want to do everything. You know, I want to, no matter, she never said no, you never had to ask her twice. And that also came with how she liked to run things. You know, it came across with how she ran her studio and how she ran her production company afterwards. But yeah, you're right, that scene where the host went to, I see the shirt. Yeah, it was very
you don't have to touch it.
It was very awesome.
Man, I just, there's so much that we could talk about. I loved it. It was so good.
I
love the music. I know that's kind of random.
No, it's true.
I really thought that it connected everything really well.
That's what made you cry, because you're watching, like, mm-hmm. you know, Lucy and Desi separate, and you're like, okay, they're divorcing. The music comes on, you're like, why am I crying?
But I knew they got divorced.
Crying. But you knew that this was going to happen in the documentary. But yeah, that's how well it was executed. Just the music, the videos they chose, the audio they chose, and the people that they interviewed too. And I remember seeing this interview with Amy Poehler, who's a director of the film, and she says that, you know, much like Lucy, the female comics are usually the loudest in school, always told you talk too much, you know, extroverts. And so, you know, it's nice to see who started it all, because usually in those days, it's like, you know, the women were damsels in distress or, you know, housewives or, you know, whatever, but Lucy's like all game for everything. So you see that in all the female comics now.
You do. Or definitely there's more of an acceptance of that for women to do that. And I think another thing that I really enjoyed about this was that, and they touched on it a few times, was that Lucy herself didn't find herself inherently funny.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And she, you know, she gave a lot of credit to the writers, but also the willingness to do the things that, you know, she said, you don't have to be funny to to make a joke stick. You know, you have to be willing to move your body or, you know, fall or
the physical
comedy that other people aren't willing to do. But even, you know, they said that she rehearsed a lot. And I think that that's such a cool, because, you know, we just see her performing and she looks, it looks effortless and flawless. And, you know, you don't always stop to think that this might not have been, it might not have come naturally to her, you know,
right,
and she might have had to work hard, and she did work so hard, and that's what made her so great. But you know,
and she was
quit.
She was a perfectionist at what was assigned to her. So she says, "Oh, this is supposed to be funny." She probably had a serious face on, looks at it, thinks of it, and then is on,
and then does it,
and then does it, and then it's on, and then after they say cut, she's like back to Lucille. So you know, it's they aren't always clowns per se in their real life. I mean, I'm sure she never like told a joke. She wasn't a stand-up comic. She wasn't the entertainment of the of a dinner table. She was just Lucille. I mean, I'm sure I'm taking some away from her. I'm sure she was funny in some ways, but she wasn't like a stand-up comic where she was always on. She was a great actress,
right,
for the show. So yeah, they touched a lot on, like you mentioned, the childhood, Grandpa Hunt taking them to vaudeville where they got their sense of wanting to do something like that, Walter Winchell breaking their pregnancy news. That is so bizarre.
Can you imagine how that just must have sucked? I mean, and not only because one, everyone knows, right?
Yeah.
Before you do, but like they had been struggling to get pregnant for a while anyways. I mean, between just not seeing each other and then miscarriages and things like that, they were struggling. And so that is a personal thing that you want to be able to share with your husband and the
things they would get away with back then. Oh my God.
Oh my goodness. Could you imagine now? I mean, I'm sure it still happened with paparazzi and things like that, but it's like, how is there a show that literally just tells people secrets? I don't know. I just, that bothered me.
I remember seeing, because Bette Midler was also interviewed here, and there was a clip I saw on Oprah where she said where she met Lucy. And, you know, she was really tall and commanded a room every time she walked in it. And she invited her over for tea. And she had a Scrabble board that was like nailed to her floor or something like that in the living room, and, you know, invited her over to play. But she said that, you know, Lucy was always very, she met her during a time where she was running the studio. So she was much more boss-like. And she said, no, she ran every room that she walked into. And then I think her change was perhaps when she married Gary, you know, much more at ease, because the marriage was much more at ease. It didn't cause her so much anxiety and, you know, hardship.
Yeah. And then also when she sold, I think then she was able to go back to what she felt the most comfortable in doing, was just performing, you know, getting up on that stage, making people laugh. She really enjoyed that. And so being able, so like you said, being in a loving relationship all around.
So interesting to see Desi kind of doing the directing even after their divorce, you know, being on the Here's Lucy or the Lucy Show. And then Gary is also like the warm-up act.
Like, I saw the videos of that and I went, I don't know why it didn't occur to me that he would be directing them. Yeah. But I just kind of assumed that he wouldn't be.
You would just cut ties or something. Yeah, he was there, and it was just kind of interesting to see them still working together.
But I think that, I mean, then they talked about that they did work really well together.
Yeah. It's just, you know, the other parts of the marriage where he wouldn't come home, or the other places for a little too long. Golf trips were not actually golf trips, things like that. Episode 2 or something, 2 or 3 of Desi Arnaz's profile. We'll talk about milk, just so we don't just randomly say milk for our new listeners. So I really, you know, this is a huge change up. Again, I feel like I'm always bashing being the Ricardos, but it's a huge change up from being the Ricardos. If you were, you know, not happy with that, this is definitely a nice relief.
Yes. And I think, again, pointing out that, you know, being the Ricardos is at its base a film for entertainment. Mm-hmm. For entertainment.
For entertainment. That's purposes. What
I'm saying. So they're going to, they're going to play up what they think is the best to play up.
Yeah.
And not really pay so much attention to the actual details or the things that are important because that's not as fun.
Right.
It's not as drama, entertaining.
You need to drama, you know, turn up the drama a bit. So if there are whatever awards are coming up, it was just so beautifully handled. Amy Poehler, I believe it's Ron Howard's company, did an excellent job, in my opinion, as to how it was presented. And like you mentioned, the music and just the timeline, how they handled everything with care, the good, bad, and the ugly. It was all there. So I give it a 10 out of 10. I really liked it.
10 out of 10.
10 out of 10.
Yes, I would too. I would rewatch it.
Yeah.
It's a good point. If anyone that I know that it's like, who is Lucille Ball? Why do you like her? I'd be like, watch this. Watch this documentary.
My question is, why are you friends with these people? We're asking these questions.
Who's not Lucille everyone Ball? Can be a diehard Lucille Ball fan. I would be surprised. I mean, you'd be surprised how many people. I'm like, I have a podcast where we talk about Lucille Ball. Who?
No, I totally get that.
Lucille Ball.
Yeah. People who walked into this room are like, what? Like they don't understand why. You know, the whole. It's very weird. But hey, listen. There's Harry Potter fans. There's, you know, Star Wars fantasy. There's Star Trek, Star Wars, there's Pokemon, you name it, there's everything. So
yeah, there's a fan. This is ours.
This one's ours. So yeah, I catch it. It's on Amazon Prime. I think that's the only place it's streaming, right? Amazon Prime.
Think so.
Yeah. Hopefully it'll be there for a while because it was an excellent, excellent film. So with that, anything else you want to add?
No.
You're good?
You're good. I was just thinking, like, this is a really short episode.
Yeah, well,
but we don't want to go. I don't know. We don't want to spoil everything.
You and I talked about this, you know, prior. Usually what we do on our podcast is go recap an episode. We'll go down minute by minute because they're short episodes and we give a history. Doing that with this would be like, it would defeat the purpose of just going to watch it yourself.
Having it. Yes.
Yeah. So I think this is just a quick, our opinion of the thing.
Tell us what you guys think. So far what I've heard is that everyone loves it.
Yeah. I don't think I'm going to get the kind of comments I got for being the Ricardos on YouTube. It's literally our most watched video and most commented video. And I think there'll be a little more positive.
We're going to be like, 2 seconds, you said you brought up being the Ricardos in 2 seconds.
Listen, it was a good movie.
It's very good. Yeah. Watch it. It was long too. I was pleasantly surprised. It was less than 2 hours, but it was like an hour and 40 minutes, which I just enjoyed. I was worried that it was going to be a short documentary, which would have been fine, but they put in so much information. It didn't drag on. I didn't feel like I was, you know, going, okay, but when is this going to be over?
Subjective though, because I wonder if someone else watching it felt like it was dragging on, you know?
They might have. Tell us, let us know. So you're like, it's too much. It was 30 minutes too long.
Of course, like, oh my God. Now, like if someone is really interested in, I don't know, gold and you're watching a 2-hour documentary on, you know, mining for gold and you're like, God, I wish it went on longer. 5 minutes
is too long to watch about mining for gold.
So I'm just saying the California Gold Rush. I don't know.
Is it a 6-minute documentary? Too long.
Just give me the cliff notes. Oh my gosh. Yes. With that, guys, thank you so much for listening. Where are we? We are on Having a Ball Pod.
Everywhere.
We're everywhere.
Across the universe.
We're global. We're a global podcast. As is everybody else. Having a Ball Pod on Instagram. send us things, leave us comments. Please rate and review us if you can on Apple or Spotify or wherever they allow you to rate us, YouTube, Facebook, all the things. Thanks,
guys.
Feel
free to share our stuff.
Yes, please share.
If you want. Yeah. All right. Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye.